The lesson today is from Mark, first chapter, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news."
Will you pray with me before I offer a message? Gracious, loving God, let the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be holy and acceptable to you. Amen. Lent has begun, a season of reflection, a time to gather our thoughts and actions and sort through them to see what fits and what may not fit as we work to live into the Christ-like loving actions. Mark gives us a brief of Jesus being baptized, then jumps straight into what is the biblical accounting of Jesus' Lenten experience. One issue that comes up with this moment of baptism is the descending of the Spirit onto Jesus. Wait, wasn't Jesus already divine? Yes. This was just a public reminder of that. Jesus was then rather unceremoniously absconded with for 40 days of temptation by the devil. I sometimes wish and pray that our time of temptation were only 40 days within our lives, but then we're not Jesus and we've been saved from that ending. What is temptation? Temptation is the moment something you shouldn't have or do presents to you in a way that entices you into it. Sloth is my temptation. I love being lazy. So when my days open opportunities to excuse away the to-do list for lazy reading and Facebook and long naps, I have to work really hard to pull myself out of that stupor. God doesn't give me those blissful days of not jam-packed schedule to be frittered away, but rather to be used to refresh and re-energize myself. I know this because when I do this, I feel it. I feel like I can hear God's voice saying, "Well done, good job, Jen." Who can tempt us? When might the devil be in this world? Well, this is the hardest part. Because the answer is everyone can. We can tempt ourselves. We can tempt others that we love. We can be tempted by those we love. So as we walk through life, we need to be aware of how we might be tempting others away from their own Christ-like living. What's the problem with giving in? I heard a friend once at a party offer another friend, I'm going to call her Sally, a sip of a beverage. Sally declined on the basis of trying to lose weight, and since the drink was alcoholic, it was high in calories and therefore a bad idea. "Just one sip won't ruin you. Come on, live a little," the first friend offered with a sly smile. Now, what they didn't know was that Sally was recently working on her new sobriety. At that moment, a few who were in the know of Sally's situation jumped in and interrupted the moment so that the opportunity was lost. They became the angels, caring for the afflicted in the desert. The actual reality is that for any one of us, depending on what the temptation is, can send us spiraling into a frenzy of negative and loss. Trust versus temptation? Jesus trusted, as we must do also. He trusted his disciples to be with him, to listen to him, to do what he asked of them. And he received from them. So what is it for trust for us? Well, Google Dictionary defines trust as firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. Trust is also the giving of authority and care of others. We trust each other here to care for us. We trust each other here to care for each other and to care for our community. So how do we discern when to trust that the offering before us is sincerely given and not a temptation that will turn us away from God? By being in relationship with God. We are called to this through the teachings of Jesus. Everything Jesus did was within the context of a relationship. You cannot offer food or a jacket to a homeless person without saying hello first. That creates a relationship. That relationship opens the door for trust. Find your trust in God. Joan Delaplaine wrote about her experience attending an Ash Wednesday service in Oakland, California. The imposition of ashes is done across the pews from congregant to congregant. She says, it was assumed, I believe, that the usual statement would be made. That is, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Or its alternate, repent and believe the good news. An elderly African-American woman was next to me. When it came time for my anointing, she looked me in the eye, took a massive thumbful of ashes, crossed me generously, and said in a loud, clear voice, trust God. We have to trust that God is present with us. God is present with us as cancer rips through our families. God is with us as the homeless population of our own county is both growing and being pulled out of their encampments. Do you see, God did not shower onto Jesus the Spirit to avoid the battles of life, but to strengthen him to face those battles. Likewise, God does not come to us in our lives as a bubble that will block all the evil from getting in, but rather as a shield that we must choose to wield in order to defend our own self and our communal self against the evil in the world. What that evil is depends on who you are and where you are in your journey. It could be doubt. Doubt in self, doubt in God, doubt in the abilities of the community to work in a way that will create positive differences. It could be boastful pride, pride in personal accomplishments. Now beware here that there is a difference between the humble pride of a job well done that fills one with satisfaction that is quiet, as opposed to the boastful pride that screams from the street corners or Facebook of the awesomeness of an outcome from the work done. Perhaps it's jealousy. The temptation of jealousy is enormous, especially with the bombardment of amazing living that we see on social media, the opulent lifestyles of the famous, the outward presentations of our own friends, their lives being seamlessly wonderful. I've caught my own self thinking, why can't I have my life put together like she does? But then I remember, because there is a relationship with her, that I know her struggles, and I know how hard that she has worked to get that moment. That's where I stopped writing when the Parkland shooting happened. While everything I have said is as well written as I can produce, it no longer seems to be enough. What is? I don't have answers to that. But yesterday morning, as I was scrolling Facebook, I came across a discussion inside a group regarding the death penalty or life in prison for the shooter. I came away from reading that discussion feeling like a failure at Christianity. We are called to live Christ-like. What was his main theme? Love. I can't tell you how hard it is to say to you that I can love Mr. Cruz, the shooter. This is the ugly, hard Christianity. This is the moment where we are actually lifting a cross. The weight of this burden is a demand that is physically and emotionally the most challenging. The temptation here is to justify why it's okay to want the death penalty, or to justify our fear or our hatred of this young man. But Jesus commanded us to love our neighbors, and to pray for our enemies. But you see, I don't think Mr. Cruz is our enemy, but that it is rather the world that we live in where a young man can be tossed aside. That is the greatest enemy. I'm not excusing what he's done, but I am suggesting that we're all screaming at the loss of lives. We remember the life that was never seen. Mr. Cruz needed more love and compassion than was offered to him because he didn't fit the mold. He wasn't normal, whatever that is. It's right for us to cry for those who died, to ache for their families. But as we do that, let us remember the least, who was lost. His screams into the world via social media were not answered. So he screamed louder and made sure we would hear him. The tempting of all of us to forget who we are is all too real. The temptation to let fear, anger, and division pull us so that we are feeling alone and empty ourselves. It's time to say, "Not today, Satan," and to open our hearts to let heavens tear open so that God's love may shower down on us and fill us with his love and his passion for the oppressed and unloved. We are called to be Christ-like. It's not the easy way. But through our relationship with God and with the strength of the Holy Spirit, we have the power to lovingly love the unlovable, resisting the temptation to forget God's truth, and forgiving ourselves when we slip, and most of all, trusting and knowing that God will forgive us when we do slip. Amen.